the first part of this scripture in Micah 6 and 8. He has showed thee. So we are beyond excuse. If I tell, for instance, I might tell some of the girls, I say, I want you to do this or that. And I make it plain to them. They have the responsibility to do it. Sometimes they refuse to do it. Many people in the world today have a knowledge and an understanding of what God wants of them, but they refuse to do it. But you know, in the judgment, we'll have no excuse. And when we stand before God, he will be free. He will feel free. Of course, God made us anyway. But he will know. And I believe he tries over and over and in maybe many ways to get across to us what he wants us to do and what he requires us to do. You go on a job, the boss is responsible to give the employees clear understanding of what is required. I remember when I was teaching, we had a contract. And the contract lets us know what we're covered under, what we're supposed to do, or what we're not supposed to do. It's very plain. But some people want to ignore those things, and then they get in trouble. I used to be a steward at my school, and I had the responsibility of being kind of like a liaison person between the administration and the employees. If they belonged to the union, I could really fight for them or whatever. But if they don't and they don't abide by the contract, then I have no jurisdiction and no help for them. One time, I had two cases, well, three actually, that were serious. And one of the cases, one of the teachers had gone on a field trip with the children, and she got hurt. And she was out of work for a long time. She got seriously hurt. When she got ready to come back to work, the principal wanted to put her in a different position. But the contract says if something like that happened, it covered her that she could be given her position. So I went in there with the principal, and I talked to him. And I let them know what the contract said. I let them know this person was covered and they were part of the union. And I was able to help her get her job and her position back. She didn't have to go to a different position because of the contract. Well, the word of God is our contract, isn't it? And we know in the word of God what to do. This scripture says, let me go back, 8. He has showed thee, O man, what is good. We know what is good. If we have any doubt about that, we have the word of God to help us to see what we're covered under. What is good? What does the Lord require of us? He said, but to do justly, so we want to know the good way, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with that God. When we could actually take this one scripture and preach a whole message on it, finding out what is good. But I was thinking and I was meditating on what is good. And we know that if we go God's way, if we go according to the scriptures, we're going to go the right way. And he gives us that. Jesus is the right way, isn't he? So today we can look to Jesus. We know that he is the right way. And if we go his way, there'll be no shadow of doubt as to the right way. Let's go to Jeremiah 7 and 23. We're going to be without excuse. We cannot say, I didn't know. We cannot say, you didn't tell me. I have a lot of time. I can tell some of the children, I say, do thus and thus. They say, you didn't tell me. A lot of time I have that. But we can't say that with the Lord. We'll have to be responsible for doing what he tells us to do.
Jeremiah 7 and 23.
Mm-hmm.
But this thing commanded I did, I'm saying, obey my voice, and I will be your guide, and ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that I may be well with you.
See?
Well unto you.
Yeah. So he tells us, obey my voice, and everything that I've commanded you, do it. Do it. For instance, I might say, so-and-so, go wash the dishes. And they fool around and don't want to wash them, and they don't do it, and then later on, I say, why aren't the dishes washed? You didn't tell me to wash the dishes. But I know I did. But see, we can't get by with the Lord like that. Because we can't say, I didn't hear you. Because he's going to make it so plain, we will hear him. Obey his voice. Obey his commandments. This is the good way. Walk in it. I have 1 Thessalonians 4 and 1. I'm not sure if that's a mistake or not. So. But we want to be faithful to walk in the thing, walk in God's ways. Do what he says do. And then it will be well with us. We will have a good life. It will be the good way.
Furthermore,
mm-hmm.
Then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk, and to please God, so he would abound more and more.
So, we've been given this. We've received it. We've received it from reading the word ourselves. We've received it from listening to ministers that read from the word of God. We receive it from God dealing with our conscience. Sometimes people may not have the Bible, but their conscience is a law unto them. So, we have received it, and walk in it. Don't ignore it. We don't want, sometimes I think some people want to be willingly ignorant. Say, if I don't read the word of God, I won't have to be responsible. I think I had a conversation with the girls one time, and I said, I can tell you by the word of God. They didn't too much want me to do that. I think they wanted to believe what they wanted to believe. So it the word of God is going to stand. And it's important that we listen to it and obey it. Now, another thing, when we go this way, when we listen to God, when we take what he says, we're going to be walking in the light. Jesus said, I am the light. If we follow him, we will walk in the light, and we won't walk in darkness. I want us to think about what it's like to walk in the light. You know, it's beautiful today. I don't have to worry about seeing the lines on the road, you know, when I'm driving. But at night, it's kind of hard to see, right? It's night. And there's no light around, you can stumble, you can fall. Yeah. But you know, the Lord doesn't want us to stumble and fall. He wants us to walk in his ways. He wants us to, the good way is the right way, and it's light and not darkness. He doesn't want us to be in darkness. Some people, you know, they one scripture say they don't like darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And you see a lot of people that have evil intentions, they like the dark. They wait till it's night, and then they get to doing the things that they shouldn't be doing. But let's walk in the light. Let's follow the Lord. Let's listen to him. Let's recognize that he's already told us. He's already mapped it out, that we have no excuse. So all we have to do is follow him. Let's go to St. John, read 1 and 3 to 9. This is a wonderful way. All we have to do is follow it.
St. John 1 and 3.
Yeah.
And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, that which lighteth every man that cometh into the world.
Every single one of us will be this light, and that's Jesus. Jesus is light. In one scripture, he said, I am the light of the world. And it brings light to everyone. There is no excuse. Nobody is exempt. You can't say, well, I just don't understand a lot. That light is going to shine upon you, and you're going to have a responsibility to follow it regardless. Let's go to John 8 now and 12. Jesus is the light. If we will follow it, if we will do his will, if we'll walk in that light, we'll not walk in darkness. When people walk in darkness, they stumble. They make mistakes. They make gross mistakes in their lives. You know, a lot, before you get this, a lot of children, young people, you know, I have this burden for reaching out to children because I would like to help them before they stumble, before they grow up and fall into many pitfalls that are there.
That's right.
But you know, Jesus is the light. He's trying to prevent those things. You know, sometimes even your parents can say, don't do that, don't go there. And you think, oh, I don't see nothing wrong with that. My friends are doing it and all these kind of things. And then you fall into a pitfall. And sometimes you look back and you wish you had never gone that way. Because that's darkness. Let's treasure the light and be able to and walk in it. You have it.
Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life.
Do you know what that means? Instead of walking in darkness, instead of making gross mistakes, instead of falling into traps, follow Jesus. He is the light. And anyone that follows him will not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You know, when we follow Jesus, our life is going to be beautiful. It's going to be full of blessings. A lot of things that you have to deal with, you won't have to deal with if you follow God's way. Sometimes parents have tried to get their children. Don't get into this marriage. That's not a good thing for you. That person's not good for you. And then they don't listen to them. And then they have many heartaches and many regrets. Sometimes we can see things that kids don't see. Parents can do that. Jesus sees that. He's trying to prevent us from falling into darkness. And the the gross sins and the different problems that people have to face. You know, when people get on drugs, for instance, that first time, if they never did it, they never get in it, and they never have to deal with trying to get off of it. Cigarettes the same way. Alcohol the same way. We had a conversation, me and one of the kids, about somebody that thinks, oh, it's okay to just drink as long as you don't get drunk. How do people get drunk? They start with the first drink. And it goes on and on. Something happens to your system. You don't need to even start it. If you can keep from starting it, you can keep from falling into those. It's very hard to break some of those habits. God can help you, but you would never have to do it. I never touch those things, so I don't have to deal with it. But other people do. And it's grievous and it's hard. It's a hard life when you go in darkness. It's not easy. The devil will try to paint a pretty picture. There's a song saying he tries to paint a pretty picture. He does. Make sin look like fun. Make it look like, oh, but then he doesn't show you the trap that he's trying to get you into. Let's go to John 12 and 46.
John 12 and 46. I am come a light into the world that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness.
See? Jesus. Jesus is the way. If we follow him, we will not go in darkness. We will not have to deal with some of the heartaches that people are dealing with today. You don't have to ever deal with it. So don't start it. 1 John 1:5-7.
This then is the message which you have heard of him, declaring to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. He says that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin.
What a wonderful way. In Jesus is no darkness at all. We don't want to go the dark way. It's trouble. It's heartache. It's disappointment. It's hurts. People are suffering from hurts, deep hurts, because of darkness. And we don't want to go there. But if we follow Jesus and his way, we'll live in the light, and we can have a smile on our face. We don't have to have our heads hung down because of disappointments or because of wrong moves or wrong decisions we've made. We can be happy and free. It's a life of blessings. One scripture in the Old Testament says something about if you obey my commandments, then shall you be blessed. And he goes on and on the different ways that he's blessing. He said, I offer unto you a blessing and a curse. If you choose to disregard what I've showed you, you're going to end up under a curse, so to speak. He said, I offer unto you a blessing or a curse. Choose right. Choose the blessing. Choose the good life. Let's go to Isaiah 30 and 21. God will talk to us. Sometime we'll start to make a mistake. We'll start to go the wrong way. But the Lord, in his mercy, will stop us. Sometimes he stops us just through our conscience. Our conscience tells us, you know what, I might shouldn't be doing this, or I shouldn't say this, or I shouldn't react like this. Sometimes when you react the wrong way, things can go out of hand. Maybe it could have avoided a lot of heartache if you had listened to your conscience. So here it says in this verse, it shows us that the Lord is going to let us know which way to go.
And thine ear shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left.
You start to go doing the wrong thing. Maybe somebody make you mad and you want to go off on them. And the Spirit of the Lord say, don't say it. Don't do that. Don't act that way. And maybe if you go off on it, it could be a big problem. Or maybe you start to do something that your parents tell you not to do. And the Lord shows you, you know, they said, don't do this. Listen, that's your conscience. It's telling you. Obey your parents. It's all kinds of ways the Lord is showing us the right way to go. And let us listen to the voice of the Lord. He is in the judgment. He will be able to see, I should have done this, or I shouldn't have done this. The Lord told me to do this, or he told me not to do that. But we don't have to have guilt, and we don't have to feel bad in the judgment. We can have confidence that he'll accept us if we go his way, if we listen to his voice, that voice that tell you don't go there. When you start to go to the right or the left, he tell you, this is the right way. Walk ye in it. So I want us to think about the prodigal son. You know, he had an opportunity. He had a nice home. He had, there were servants in that home. He had what he could enjoy. But his mind was, you know, give me what you owe to me. And he wanted to go out and have fun. I want us to read this. Let's start at Luke 15 and 11. He had to suffer some hard things that he would not have had to suffer if he had just stayed with his parents, done the right thing. But instead, he chose his own way.
Luke 15 and 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him.
Okay, let's stop just a minute. Here we had a young man. He had probably anything he wanted in his parents' house, in his father's house. But no, his mind got to wandering. I guess he probably, the grass looked greener on the other side of the fence probably. And so he wanted to get all the good, the whatever money that was due him, his inheritance. And he goes out, going to have a good time. You know, I'm going to be with my friends. And what he had, while he had money, he had friends. It said he spent his living with riotous living, right? And so he spent his what?
Substance
with riotous living. So all this good money he had. No doubt he partied, if one of his friends wanted something to drink, because that's kind of the life those young people want to live, no doubt he's, oh, okay, he foot the bill, right? Okay. But then his money left, used it up. And there was a famine in the land. And he's hungry. All his friends, where's his friends? It says nobody would give to him. They were just his friends as long as he had money. And so now he doesn't have any money. And the only job he could get was going and feeding swine. Do you guys know what swines are? Pigs. Pigs. So he had to feed the pigs. But it said he feigned, meaning he really wanted to fill his belly with the husk the swines did eat. That's gross. Sounds like he ate some of it because he wanted to fill his belly with it. He got so hungry, no doubt, he up there eating some of that slop they give the swans. This is the kind of life. This is to show us what kind of life we can have when we turn away from the Father. This is a parable. We turn away from God Almighty. Going and doing our own thing. That's what we can expect. You know, what was that? Yesterday, we were headed somewhere to the family reunion. And I saw this lady. She was homeless. My heart broke. I'm telling you, I was just ready to cry. I said, I wanted to have a dollar to give her. I had a track. So Aaliyah said, I got one. So she gave me that dollar, and I gave the lady the track and the dollar. But my heart went out to her. I don't know what made her homeless. She had the sign that she was homeless. But these are the kinds of things that we can experience when we fail to take heed. I have showed thee, O man, what is good. I've showed you. I've showed you the good in the right way. And so this prodigal son had to suffer hunger. He had to suffer. No doubt he knew what it tastes like, the pig's food. Because he's hungry. How many of us want to get in that condition to where pig food tastes good? Well, I don't know if it tasted good, but he said he feigned, wanted to fill, would like to have filled his belly with the husk that the swines did eat. Brother, read the rest of that.
And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, and when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And his son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against thee. I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to the servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. But this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry.
This is Jesus. This is God today. He's reaching out to every one of us. We don't have to eat the husk. We don't have to be starving. We don't have to be homeless spiritually. Because he has food. He made a feast. He wants to make a feast with all of us. He's shown us what to do. And if we do what he say, he's going to be fill our lives with blessing. Why should we eat husk? Why should we live like that? When all we can do, all we need to do is live for God. Give our hearts and lives to God. Stay in the way of God. Don't any longer go the way of the world or the world, your own way. Because your own way is going to be disaster, just like his way was disaster. Pray for me.